Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Psychology of Being That Girl, The Ultimate Guide to Self-Development by Anya Holmes, is a concise self-development book positioned for women who want a structured but accessible approach to personal growth. Its subject is not clinical psychology in a formal academic sense, but practical self-improvement through self-discovery, goal setting, habit awareness, relationship health, and everyday life design. The book draws on the popular cultural idea of becoming that girl, yet frames it less as an aesthetic label and more as a process of building a life that feels intentional, stable, and personally meaningful. Available descriptions emphasize discovering the inner self, setting meaningful goals, improving eating and spending habits, developing healthier romantic and platonic relationships, and creating a life to be proud of. Its purpose is therefore pragmatic, to help readers examine daily choices, clarify personal standards, and convert general aspirations into routines and boundaries that support long-term well-being. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, self-discovery as the foundation for becoming that girl. A central emphasis of the book is the idea that self-development should begin with inner discovery rather than external imitation. The phrase "that girl" is often associated with appearance, productivity routines, or social media imagery, but Holmes appears to redirect the concept toward personal alignment. This matters because self-improvement advice can become shallow when it begins with visible habits without asking why those habits are desirable or sustainable. By foregrounding the inner self, the book encourages readers to identify what they value, what patterns they repeat, and what kind of life would actually feel satisfying to them. The practical implication is that goals, relationships, spending, and health choices become extensions of self-knowledge instead of disconnected attempts to appear improved. This approach also makes the book relevant to readers who feel overwhelmed by comparison culture. Rather than presenting a single model of the ideal woman, it treats growth as a process of defining standards from within. The topic is important because it gives the rest of the guide a psychological anchor. Change is more likely to last when it is connected to identity, values, and honest self-assessment. Secondly, meaningful goals is a bridge between intention and daily behavior. The book places goal setting near the center of self-development, but the available descriptions stress meaningful goals rather than vague ambition. This distinction is significant. A meaningful goal is not simply a desired outcome. It is connected to a reader's values, responsibilities, and preferred future. In practical terms, this can help prevent the common problem of setting goals that sound impressive but do not fit actual needs. The book positions goals as a way to translate self-discovery into behavior. Once a reader has a clearer sense of what she wants her life to represent, goals provide direction and measurable movement. This also connects to the broader life design theme in the book. Goals are not isolated achievements, but organizing tools for health, finances, relationships, and personal confidence. The value of this topic lies in its emphasis on intentionality. Instead of treating self-development as constant optimization, the book appears to treat goals as filters that help readers decide what to prioritize, what to decline, and which habits deserve attention. That makes the advice especially relevant for readers who need structure, but may not want a highly technical productivity system. Thirdly, healthy eating and spending habits as everyday self-respect. One of the more practical dimensions of the book is its attention to eating and spending habits. These areas are important because they are repeated daily and can quietly shape emotional stability, confidence, and independence. By including both nutrition-related habits and financial behavior, Holmes gives the book a broader scope than self-esteem alone. The likely emphasis is not on extreme restriction or wealth-building formulas, but on healthier patterns that help readers feel more in control of their lives. Eating habits can influence energy, body awareness, and consistency, while spending habits affect stress, autonomy, and the ability to pursue longer-term goals. Treating these behaviors together suggests that self-development is embodied and practical, not only reflective. The reasoning is straightforward. A person may have strong ambitions, but if daily consumption choices constantly undermine her sense of stability, progress becomes harder to maintain. This topic also differentiates the book from guides that focus only on confidence language. It asks readers to examine ordinary decisions that reveal priorities. In that sense, habit improvement becomes a form of self-respect because it links personal care with responsibility rather than appearance. Fourthly, romantic and platonic relationships as measures of emotional health. The book explicitly includes both romantic and platonic relationships, which gives its self-development framework a social dimension. This is important because many personal growth books focus heavily on individual confidence while treating relationships as secondary. Holmes appears to recognize that a fulfilling life is shaped by the quality of the people a reader allows close to her. Healthy relationships require boundaries, mutual respect, honest communication, and the ability to distinguish support from dependency or approval seeking. including friendships alongside romance, is especially useful for the intended audience, because emotional well-being is not determined only by dating choices. Platonic relationships can reinforce identity, normalize growth, or, when unhealthy, keep a person tied to patterns she is trying to outgrow. The practical reasoning is that self-development cannot be sustained in an environment that continually contradicts it. If a reader is setting goals, changing habits, and redefining her standards, her relationships will either support that change or expose areas where boundaries are weak. The book, therefore, treats relational health as part of becoming that girl, not as social popularity, but as the ability to build connections that align with personal dignity and long-term well-being. Lastly, life design that integrates identity, habits, goals, and relationships. The broad promise of the book is to help readers create a life they can be proud of, and that phrase points to an integrated life design approach. Instead of presenting self-development as one isolated improvement, the book brings together inner reflection, goal setting, physical habits, financial habits, and relationship choices. The value of this structure is that it mirrors how personal change actually works. A reader's self-concept affects the goals she chooses. Her goals require daily habits. Her habits are influenced by relationships and environment, and the combined effect shapes whether her life feels intentional. This integration is also why the book can function as an entry-level guide for readers new to self-development. It does not appear to rely on a narrow, specialized method, but offers a holistic map of areas that commonly determine satisfaction and self-trust. The limitation is that a concise guide may not provide deep technical treatment of every area, such as financial planning, nutrition science, or relationship counseling. However, its strength is breadth and coherence. It helps readers see that becoming that girl is not a single transformation moment, but a coordinated process of aligning private values with public choices and daily routines. In conclusion, The Psychology of Being That Girl is best suited for women who want an approachable, holistic starting point for self-development rather than a dense academic psychology text or a narrowly focused productivity manual. Readers who are reassessing their routines, relationships, confidence, or personal standards may benefit from its combination of self-reflection and practical life areas. Its intellectual value is modest but useful. It organizes familiar self-help concerns into a framework that connects identity, goals, habits, and relationships. Its practical value lies in encouraging readers to examine ordinary choices, including how they eat, spend, choose companions, and define progress. Compared with many books in the same genre, it stands out by using the recognizable that girl concept while broadening it beyond image and aesthetics. The book appears to treat that identity as a personal development project, grounded in self-knowledge and consistent behavior, not simply a lifestyle performance. It may not satisfy readers seeking extensive research citations, advanced psychology, or highly specialized guidance, but it can serve as a concise orientation for readers who need clarity and momentum. Its differentiating strength is the blend of cultural relevance with everyday categories of change, inner self, meaningful goals, healthy habits, supportive relationships, and purposeful life design. If you would like to support Ania Holmes, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.